From Acts chapter 1. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the listening ears of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our family is known for long car rides. 12-hour days is normal for us, even when we had four much younger children and a dog. Some of our best family memories happen on those trips. Still, there is always that moment when the seatbelt has become annoying and the traffic isn't moving and somebody says, how much longer? Are we there yet? Jesus' disciples had been looking forward to the time when everyone would know they'd been following not just this teacher and healer that says things that challenge people. They've been looking forward to the time when everyone would know they were following the Messiah, who they define as the powerful leader, the one who would put Israel back in charge. Even as they are with the resurrected Jesus and hear the promise of the Holy Spirit that is soon coming, the question they ask is, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Or in other words, are we there yet? And Jesus says, it is not for you to know. The disciples think they understand how the world works. But Jesus tells them there's more going on than meets the eye. He tells them that when the power of the Spirit empowers them, they will be able to witness to him, not just to their friends and neighbors, but to the people they are predisposed not to like, and people that live in places they've never imagined going. Jesus' death and resurrection and the coming of the Holy Spirit, they are not just tools of making the power structure of the political world different. The gospel can be transformative for everybody, for individuals, for families, for institutions, for systems, for religions, and yes, for governments too. The gospel leads us toward a power that is more than any worldly power we think we have. It is an eternal kingdom we proclaim, not bound anymore by physical realities. Jesus gives them their mission. And there is a to-do list included. First, they have to let go of their own agenda. They have to stop thinking they already know how the story ends. Second, they have to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, and when they have received that power, they have to be ready to stop looking up into the clouds. And third, they have to witness to him, to his story that will live in and through the coming of the Spirit in their lives. They have to get up and go and find the people that need to hear the good news, whoever and wherever they might be. So how does that sound to us? Which part might be the hardest for us? Letting go of our own agenda? That is not so easy. We like our goals, and we like our plans, and we get invested in them. And that can be okay, but I'm wondering, have we considered how our goals fit into who we are as people of God? I love the story Simon Sinek tells about the two stonemasons. He says that an interviewer walked up to the first stonemason and says, "So how do you like your job?" And he said, "I've been building this wall for as long as I can remember. It's monotonous. I work in the scorching hot sun all day long. The stones are heavy, and lifting them can be backbreaking. I'm not sure if this project will even be done while I'm alive, but it's a job. Pays the bills." And then 30 feet down, he talked to the other stonemason, and he said to him, "So how do you like your job?" And he said, "Well, I love it. I'm building a cathedral." What they're doing is exactly the same. The difference is, one has a sense of why. He comes to work to be part of something bigger than himself. Whatever our gifts or our jobs, we can live with the big picture, the purpose that we are each God's people. And everything we do every day feeds into that and comes from that. The next step wasn't so easy for the disciples either. Waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit, how are they supposed to do that? I mean, they didn't know what it was going to be like. Of course, when it happened with the fire and the wind, it got their attention. But what about us? How do we know that the Spirit is with us? The Bible tells us we can trust that the Spirit is always here, in and among and around and within us. Always ready to fill us up. The real question is, will we make time and space? Will we be open to the Spirit? Will we pray? Will we invest ourselves in connecting with God and with each other so that when the time comes, we are ready? And then the Spirit comes to us, and we serve God wherever we are, following God, wherever God sends us, even when we are afraid. The disciples must have been afraid. Afraid to talk about what had happened to them and what they had seen. Afraid to tell their friends and their neighbors, let alone the people they didn't trust at all. Sometimes we're afraid. We're afraid that the words won't come to us, that we won't know what to say, that we'll meet somebody who clearly needs to hear some form of good news, and we won't have the words. We give that to God. We open ourselves up and we say, "Give me the words." And then we trust that whatever comes out is what God wants to say to the person in the moment. We have to show up. We have to walk with people in order to be open to the Spirit and serve God. There is so much bad news around, and we know that. And there are times when people stand up and there was something to be afraid of. But they are not alone. God's Spirit was with them. and will always be with them. Sometimes, what we're afraid of is looking foolish. I mean, the kingdom we proclaim is just not the kingdom we live in. Talking about Jesus and his power can make us feel foolish. I was watching something about a man who was the president of a college in Texas. It was an AME school, a Christian college in South Dallas, Texas. And the first thing he did when he became president was decide that he would cut the football program. In Texas, cut the football program? That's about as crazy as you can get. Why did he do that? Because it was a small school and they had lost every game for years and years and years. And he said, there must be something better we can do to teach our kids. So he looked around this neighborhood in South Dallas. And, you know, the only place where people could buy food in that neighborhood was 7-Eleven. Can you imagine that? All the food you got had to come from 7-Eleven. So he took their football field and he turned it into a farm. He taught the kids how to farm, how to make a business. He doesn't think they're going to become farmers, but he does think they might learn to see a need and meet it with what they have to give. They give now 25% of the food they grow to the community, and in order to pay for itself, they sell 75% to people like the Dallas Cowboys. They really love how the whole football thing came around full circle. And they left the goalpost so they could remember the foolishness and the bravery of saying, what can we do with this space to serve not just ourselves, but the kingdom of God? Being filled up with the Spirit doesn't always look the same. It can be words, it can be actions, it can be presence. You can do it by yourself, you can do it in a group. We just need to be open because God's Spirit is leading us to proclaim everywhere and always that love wins. In Jesus' name, amen.